Hello, class. This is Reverend Calhoun again, and we're going to continue on our subject of the spirit of honor. This being, I want to say, probably class 8. And we're going to be looking at honoring power structures. Amen. And this is coming kind of around page 26 in your book. So if you want to follow along on your PDF outline of the book, you can do so. Amen. Start off with a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for each and every student. I trust, Lord God, that they're doing well, that all their needs are met, and that, Lord God, that they are pursuing you and pursuing the things of God by being a part of this school of ministry, and that you're going to bless them. Hallelujah. We thank you for our apostle. Hallelujah. The founder and president of this ever-increasing word training center. Thank you for his family, the first family, Lord God, that you bless them. Hallelujah. And Father, as always, I thank you for the Holy Spirit showing up in my class, because if he don't, I will fall flat on my face. I lean completely and totally upon him. Amen. All right, we're looking at honoring power structures. Okay. Again, I always like to use and start off with this, like I've already told you, I am a repeater. The greatest seed a human being can sow is an honor seed. We need to honor and respect, you know, those who are in authority. And what we're going to be looking at in the area of power structures, I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 8. And the first 8 verses I'll read out of the Amplified, because it actually brings it into focus. So Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, Amplified Bible. It says, "Let every person be loyally subjected to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God, by his permission, his sanction, and those that do exist do so by God's appointment. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order." And I like the way that's stated. That's verse 2. It says, "Therefore, he who resists and sets himself against the authorities," you know, the police force, the authorities, the law officials, "resist what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. Who would you have not dread of him who is an authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive his approval and his accommodation. For he is God's servant for good. But if you do wrong, you should dread him and be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath, punishment, vengeance on evildoers. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle for the sake of consciousness. For this reason, we pay taxes for civil authorities and official servants under God's devoting themselves to attending to this very service." And then it says in verse 7, "Render to all their dues, pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due." It says, "Keep out of debt, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices love, basically has fulfilled all the law." Amen. Glory to God. All right. And I'm going to just read the King James Version of Romans 13 and 7. It says, "Render therefore to all their dues." Pay dues, meaning what's owed someone. I just paraphrased that. "Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." We're going to be looking at those four or five areas. You know, we are obligated to pay tribute. Okay. We are obligated to give custom to whom custom is due. We are obligated to give fear or reverence to whom reverence is due. We are obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. Obligation means a compelling bond by moral obligation or spiritual obligation. Paul says we are obligated to show these four types of honor to all men. We will examine each of these individually. Amen. All right. Anytime you go in a place, in a region. Now, this lesson out of Bishop Tudor Bismarck's book focuses a lot on ministry, either abroad or in another city or another country, or another region. And a lot of these tributes and customs and fear, the way he relates it has to do with you respecting the dignitaries, the spiritual leaders, the customs of people in other countries or other locations, other locales, because their customs, their traditions could be a lot different from ours. And anytime you go to minister somewhere, if you don't respect their customs, their traditions, you know, and the dignitaries in that area, even though you might have a great anointing upon your life, those anointing levels go down because you disrespected their customs, their traditions, you know, things that they hold dear to their country and their region. Amen. So that's why it's so important to research an area and find out the dynamics in that region, and who has rank in that region, and so that you won't affect the equilibrium. When I said equilibrium, the spiritual balance that spiritual leader may have set, or just the customs of the people. Because if you offend and disrespect the people of a country, they're not going to hear what you got to say. You could have, like I said, tremendous anointing and be the best teacher, but once you disrespect them and their land, it's no different. If somebody came to America and threw the United States flag on the ground and burned it, would you listen to what they have to say? No, because you're disrespecting a sacred custom, a writ that you just don't do. You don't let the flag fall down. You're not supposed to. You don't burn the flag. That's a total sign of disrespect to this country. Amen. Well, you don't want to do that in other countries. All right. Anytime you go into a place or a region in the world and you have a tremendous amount of anointing, this is what Apostle Tudor Bismarck says, that anointing level in your life goes all the way down. If you disrespect the land, the people, and their customs and the apostolic gift in that region. Amen. All right. There are four kinds of types of honor to be bestowed, conferred, and presented to those worthy of honor, especially when traveling or ministering in certain places of foreign countries, you know, and that's tribute, custom, fear, and honor. When you are visiting a foreign country or are there for whatever reason, we are obligated to adhere to the policies and the cultures of the land as long as they don't violate the word of God or dishonor God's word by, you know, the laws and principles that are written in the word. If you want God's presence, his glory, and his anointing to show up, you must honor the land, the laws of the land, the people, the customs, and the apostolic gift in that region where you're traveling, because this is God's divine order. Amen. God is a God of order. I've said that so many times. He's a God of honor. We must submit to the established order of government and the customs that are set up in the countries we evangelize. If we want God's presence and power to flow freely, we cannot do what we want to do. Amen. We have to know the customs, know the mores in that area, and follow them. You must follow the protocol of the divine order in that region. Amen. All right. Okay. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Okay. What is tribute? Honor with tribute. When you travel to a foreign country, you are subject to the tax law structure of that civil government, laws and land. You must honor and respect and obey them. Tribute is honoring the laws and the taxes of the land and the government systems of that country. Tribute also means paying taxes, duty, a tax or a payment for imports and exporting of goods and services. And one also must honor certain levels of structure within the civil government. You know, I mean, Every region is different. Let me give you an illustration. I had a cousin who worked in Saudi Arabia for several years, worked at an oil refinery there. So he moved his family there, and his wife also was with him. Because of the customs of that country, when he left, they lived on a compound, which was an American compound. As long as you was on an American compound, you were not bound to Saudi law or Saudi customs. But the minute you stepped out the gate and went into the cities in Saudi Arabia, women had to walk behind their husbands. Women had to have their head covered. And there were just certain other, those are the ones I could remember that, you know, when I talked to them, you know, because his wife, she said, I never left the compound much because I didn't care for their customs. Well, you know, she honored them, but she didn't, you know, she didn't participate because she stayed on the American compound. But, you know, that's a good illustration, you know, even like when you, I know the Queen, she's not with us anymore, but, you know, when you approach royalty, you don't just reach out your hand to shake it. You have to wait, and if they give you their hand, you can shake it. But if not, you know, because the royals are different, and they have different customs. You know, here, you know, we readily shake hands with people, but there, if you're in the presence of royalty, you have to obey their customs. All right. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute because whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structures and the civil government of that land. Obey the laws of that country. I remember when we were in Barbados, you know, here in the United States, you drive on the right side of the road. Over there, you drove on the left side of the road. You know, you would get pulled over, get a ticket. If you say, well, you know, I'm not used to this. No, you had to get used to it. My wife, because for some reason she was left-handed, she didn't have as big an issue. So she did most of the driving while we were there. And she got pretty good at driving on the left side of the road, you know. But that was a custom. That was a law in that land. And we had to obey it. Amen. When you're flying over an airspace, you know, you have to get permission to fly over a country's airspace. And sometimes you may even have to pay a fee in order to do that. You are obligated to abide by the laws and the governments of the land that you're in. If you violate the natural law, you can't expect God to move on your behalf spiritually because you are out of order and you disobeyed or dishonored their customs. Amen. Paul says you have to honor the government in the country, honor the laws of that land, honor the land. Amen. Let me move on. When you violate natural laws of a country that you're under, that's under divine order, order and structure, you are in fact violating God's order. The Bible says to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And just kind of paraphrasing that, you know, they came to Jesus and says, should we give tribute to Caesar and to tempt Jesus? And Jesus says, give me a penny, give me a corn. And he looked at it and says, whose face is on this corn? And they said, Caesar's. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God. In other words, respect the law and the country and whatever is set up, you render to Caesar, or you pay taxes or whatever to Caesar, but render unto God what is God's. You know, so that's very important. And that was a good illustration Jesus made to them, you know, about respecting and tribute at that particular country. All right. Let me move on to number two. Custom to whom custom is due. Honoring custom is honoring the people of the land, their traditions. You are to honor the people, their customs, provided their customs do not violate the scriptural requirements for human life. Anytime you go into a place in the world, again, you can have tremendous anointing, but if you disrespect the people and their native customs, the anointing levels on your life will go down because of your disrespect. Every people or every ethnic group, every tribe or nationality has their individual cultures that make up the uniqueness of the people there. Honoring the people of the land by respecting their culture shows honor to the people of that country. This is giving custom to whom custom is due. Amen. I'm going to read that again. Honoring the people of a land or country or region by respecting their culture shows honor to the people of that country. This is giving custom to whom custom is due. In some countries, it's customary as a salute to kiss, you know, on the cheek. That's just a customary thing they do. You know, we don't generally do that, you know, but, you know, that's their customs and you have to honor their custom. To disrespect or disregard custom shows dishonor, and therefore the rewards of dishonor shall be reaped. Amen. I mentioned to you earlier about Saudi Arabia and how they have different customs. And in every area, you know, there's customs, and we have to know the customs. So if you're doing ministry, do research about an area, the dynamics, the structure, the culture of that area, because you don't want to disrespect. You want to be received. You want your word, the word that God has given you, to be received. You know, so you have to first honor the people in that region and honor their customs, you know, because if not, you're not going to be received. All right, we're going to move on to fear to whom fear is due. Honor with fear. Fear is honoring the ranks, the spiritual dignitaries of the land, apostles and prophets of that land, the apostolic voice in that region. Know who they are before you go minister in a particular region so that you don't violate the ranks and the spiritual protocols set in place by God's anointing. Fear to whom fear is due is very important. Even on a local level, if I'm assigned by apostle to go and sit in his behalf to a funeral and represent him and the ministry, one of the first things that I do is when I go into the building, I ask an usher or somebody who's, you know, looks to be in charge. I announce myself as a representative of Apostle Thompson, representing Word of Life Christian Center. And I just want to let him know that I'm here, you know, and anything that he might need me to do, I'm available. And I never forget one funeral I went to. Just so happened, the processional was about to start for the funeral. And it was obvious who the pastor was. I went up to him, shook his hand, introduced myself, let him know who I was submitted to and the church that I was submitted to. And he said, well, we're about to start. He said, just come walk with me, and I want you to walk on stage with me. I said, okay. So I walked behind him, walked in the processional, walked on stage, and he went to one side. He beckoned me to go to the other side, to a chair there. And I stood there. He stood. I stood. And when he sat out, I sat out. He looked at me. He says, young man, go ahead and open up the service in prayer. You know, I got up there and, you know, and prayed and opened up the service and stayed on for the entire funeral, stayed up on the stage. But I learned then, because I respected and honored him and acknowledged him, he respected and honored me and this ministry, you know, and actually, I wasn't even on program, but yet and all, now I'm the first person and had an opportunity to pray. And I'm looking at my brother and sister whose parent, I can't remember, was it a mother or a father? I think it was her mother. And so I'm able to comfort her with prayer and the congregation and the loved ones, you know. But that's, you know, giving fear and honor to the pastor that's there. I you never want to disrespect that. Amen. All right. Fear is honoring the ranks and the spiritual dignitaries of that land, apostles and prophets of that land, the voices of that region. Know who they are, before you go to minister, and I just read this, in another region, especially in another region, so that you don't violate the ranks and the spiritual protocols set in place by God. For this reason, it is always important to research an area before you go in. Fear is reverence and respect for the spiritual dignitaries that God has set in place in that region. Showing fear or reverence to those God has placed in authority is showing honor to those dignitaries of that land or of that region or of that church. Knowing the ranks that God has placed in a particular region is so very important so that you don't dishonor those that God has set in place. Amen. All fivefold ministry gifts are not equal. And we need to understand that there's a rank, there's levels, there's a protocol. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, we're all not equal. You know, you're to honor the apostolic, honor the prophetic. Amen. That's very important. You know, even with Jesus, with the talents in Matthew 5:25 and 14, for the kingdom of God is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one was given 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. You know, so each person got talents based upon their several ability or their anointing or whatever was on their life. You know, not everybody got the same. Amen. All right. In the kingdom of God, human beings, there are different ranks, levels, and abilities, talents, gifts, and anointing given to people in every sector by God's will. We must honor the ranks that God has set in place in the land. Fear means to respect, to honor, and honor must be given to those whom God has graced with higher levels and abilities, anointing, talents, gifting. That's so very important. 1 Peter 2 and 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Clearly here, honor must be shown to whom honor is due. 1 Timothy 5 and 17 says, let the elders that rule well be worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So the elders who rule well, he says, are worthy of double honor. 1 Timothy 5 and 17 in the Amplified says, let the elders who perform their duties or offices well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. And lastly, I'm going to read the Message Bible of that same verse, 1 Timothy 5 and 17. It says, give a bonus to a leader who does a good job, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And then the scripture tells us, don't muzzle the ox. A worker deserves his pay. Matter of fact, one of the things, and I've shared this before, and I try to do it, and if it slipped my mind, my wife will remind me wholeheartedly. Good example was yesterday at prayer meeting. Apostle was at prayer meeting, and we started to pray, and I'm in my prayer. And my wife reaches over to me and she gives me a 20. And I knew what that's for. Sew this into Apostle. So I reach in my pocket and I got some additional money. And, you know, just went up to put it on the chair while he was praying, giving honor to whom honor is due. One of the things I've always have preached and you know, tried to be an example of, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed or with some kind of honor to show him, because that allows and it helps that anointing that's on his life now to come down and flood into your life, because you're giving honor to whom honor is due. Even Saul, when Saul was after the asses that was lost, and he went, he was going to find Samuel, And he says, yeah, there's a man of God in this city. And then Saul says, but what have we to give him? You know, well, we have no gift to present to him. But his servant says, I have some silver and some other precious jewels that I set aside. We can give this to the man of God so that he can show us the way that we need to go. You know, it's going before men that God has grace with his anointing, with his gifting, and showing honor to whom honor is due. Amen. That's so very important. Like I said, fear means to respect and honor must be given to those God has graced with higher levels of abilities, talents, giftings, and anointing. And we read Timothy. All right, got a few minutes left. Honor to whom honor is due. Number four, honor the land. Okay, you say honor the land. Okay, this is honoring the anointing in the land. This means honoring the apostolic gift in that region. That's kind of what I was saying. You know, the last one we were talking about was fear to whom fear. You know, in other words, people who are worthy of honor. You know, military people in high rank are worthy of honor. You know, if a general passes by and I'm just a lieutenant, I stop, move to the side, I salute him because I'm giving honor, fear to whom fear is due because of his position, his rank, you know, the notoriety that's with him. Same with, and even more so, with apostles and prophets. One of the things we do here at Word of Life is service is not officially over if apostle is still on the stage or in the sanctuary. We stay, and while he's ministering, other people may want to come and speak to him after the service is over. We stay, and we don't even leave our seats, most of us, and we just stand at attention, you know, just waiting, because sometimes he'll turn to the congregation, and he'll pray, and he'll say certain things. And he might have a word for you, but if you get up and leave after, you know, service is dismissed, you know, when it said, you know, see you next week, live online and in the building, you get up and leave, an apostle's still in the building, you might miss a blessing. One of the things I try to always do, and you know, yesterday was a good example. We were on time, but apostle was here before time. You know, when I walked in the building, I heard his voice. So we did double time to get in the building because he had already started ministering at prayer meeting. I try to always get here a little bit before church service or prayer meeting before church, because you never know when the man of God and God might inspire him to come out and greet the congregation. And that's when I say greet, address them in something that God had given him right then and there. And what he had to say might be the very thing you needed to hear. And so you always want to stay ready. You know, never just come on time. Come ahead of time. You know, stay until he goes back into his chambers. And sometimes he'll go back in his chambers and come back out. You know, I've seen, you know, because like he said, you never know what I'm going to do. But you want to give honor to whom honor is due. That's the whole point of that, giving honor or fear to whom fear is due. Amen. All right. Honoring the land. This is honoring the anointing in the land. That means honoring the apostolic gift in a region. One way of doing this is sowing an offering into higher ranking apostolic gifts with greater anointing in the regions where you are. You know, and not only just the man of God, but the first lady, first family, you need to give honor to the priesthood. Amen. All right. Like I said, sometimes without necessarily even seeing them, just dropping an offering off there is honoring the gift. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you know, the apostolic leader, and sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in a region that you are visiting, that's honor. That's showing honor. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering or sow a seed into the local apostolic gift in that region that you're visiting. There's been times people have come from other states, other locales, and they come here just to sow. They come here with the intent and the purpose of sowing into the anointing, so that the anointing that's on the apostolic can flow down from the man of God into their lives and elevate them and change their situation and you know, whatever they're believing God for. I'll never forget Oral Roberts. He had gotten sick. I heard this testimony. And he told his wife, Evelyn, when they were living, he said, go and get the biggest seed that you can get, and we need to sow it. I don't know who they sowed it into, but he knew that sowing that seed could cause the breakthrough in his life and cause the healing that he needed, which it did. There's been several times, even in my own life and experiences, and I've shared this before, with my daughter when she was going to college. She had gotten a scholarship. We were waiting for a letter from the academic affairs office concerning the details of the scholarship. And when it didn't come when we thought it would, I called them and they said, you will be hearing from us soon. We're aware of your situation and you will be hearing from us soon. Well, the next day the letter came in and it was a Dear John letter saying, we regretfully to inform you that, you know, the scholarship that we were going to offer, the companies that were backing it have backed out. And so if you want to pursue, or she wants to pursue education here at Georgia Tech, you're going to have to look at another financial means to do so. That letter came on a Wednesday. We had Wednesday night service. My daughter was in tears. I was upset. You know, I mean, I knew she could still go, but at that time, I just didn't have all the finances to supply every semester, maybe the first two or three. But anyway, I looked at her. I said, you know, you have a seed, you have a job, I have a job. We're going to both sow into Apostle tonight. And we're going to believe God that this decision is going to be reversed. So she went up, I went up. We sowed into him. We were scheduled to go to an orientation that weekend. This was on a Wednesday, so by Friday we were on the road. We left Friday evening, stopped at a hotel. My daughter looked at her email, and she had got a letter from the academic affairs office that said, because we had initially awarded you this scholarship, even though the financial backers have backed off, we have decided to honor that scholarship, and the university will foot the bill. You know, your education is funded. And that was a blessing enough. Just the letter, the email that she got. But when we got to the orientation, the same academic dean of academic affairs, before she did her presentation speech, she says, before I begin my speech and address everybody here, and just kind of let you know, it was some of the top young minds in the United States. I mean, I think they said the average GPA there was like a 3.9 something. And they recruited a lot of top young black talent across the United States to come to their university, their engineering schools. But anyway, she said, before I begin, I need to ask one question. And she says, and she called my daughter's name out. And she says, are you in the audience? And my daughter stood up on a chair and waved her hand. And she said, darling, did you get my email? My daughter shook her head and she said, don't worry about it. Everything has been taken care of. Everything is, you know, you're good. You know, and there was probably about 2,000 people in that auditorium, you know, but God singled out. What caused God to single her out like that? The only thing we did was sow a seed. Well, I erased that. The one thing we did was sow a seed. That seed brought forth that harvest, you know. Honoring the anointing that's in the land, you know, that cannot be understated. I've done it so many times, and I've seen so many results from doing it. It's you know, it's a no-brainer for me. You know, it's a no-brainer for me. Amen. When you honor the anointing that's in the land, you give an offering and sow a seed into that apostolic gift in the region that in it. And if you're a traveling minister, the region that you're visiting, but if you in the house, you sow it because it's the right thing to do. When you show that kind of honor, there is automatic spiritual reciprocation. What we receive in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're there Saturday. What we received in about 3 days was automatic spiritual reciprocation. That seed had reciprocated. We sowed it. It reciprocated back to us. Remembering the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. And I'm going to even leave you with this. If you are studying behind Apostle, listening to his teachings on Sunday or Wednesday, reading his books and his study material, you need to sow a seed because that seed will be reciprocated to you. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let them that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Amen. You know, honor is so, so very important. It's, you know, God has blessed my family and I because of the fact that we honor our man of God. And I can't, there's things I can't explain except the fact of the seeds of honor that were sown, you know. It'll change your life. In the next couple of weeks, I know we got Prosperity Revival coming up in a week or so. Make sure that you tune in to the Prosperity Revival if you're out of town and can't come. But if by all means, if you can make it to the meetings, you need to be in the house. You need to be in the house because he's going to boldly talk about prosperity. And you need to be in the house so that you can receive the blessings of God on your life. Amen. So with that said, I'll see you next week. Be blessed next week. And after the Prosperity Revival, we'll continue with our classes. Amen.